when he brings healing to a broken heart, it doesn't, at least for me, it doesn't initially start with answers. Most of the time, I don't need answers anyway. I need a person. I need presence. If I can have the peace that passes understanding, I'm good. Which for me has meant I have to give up my right to understand. Verse 1 of chapter 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Siloam brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. It was very large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting at the right side. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen." There's the coolest three words ever spoken. "He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter," which is interesting. It's not that Peter wasn't a disciple. He just needed a little extra attention. So sometimes every one of us have needed just a little extra nudge, and Jesus was kind enough to give it to Peter. So he said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Go tell them that he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him as he said to you. And that's an amazing promise, isn't it? Go to Galilee, you'll see him for yourself. They went up quickly, they fled from the tomb, they trembled, were amazed, they said nothing to anyone, they were afraid. When he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Let's stop right there for a moment. You know what? Let's read the next two verses, three verses. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked in the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Verse 14, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. I return to this story. You know how you have places that you're familiar with in Scripture and you return to just for, I call it recreational reading. It's just where you go to just to kind of be refreshed with what is spoken. And this portion has meant a lot to me personally, because it shows me how to, number one, how to deal with mourning. Every one of us have disappointment. Every one of us have loss. Every one of us got stuff that we have no explanation for. You just get that in life. And if you don't know how to navigate that stuff, you end up crippled. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it, "Well, that's just not my gift. That's not my calling." But really, you're just resisting to step into who you are because you're hurt. This issue of pain, it says that they were mourning in verse 10, and they did not believe. Mourning will take you one of two places. First of all, mourning is biblical if it takes you to God. Yeah. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. Say it again. Comforted. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So here's the point. There is one route to go in mourning where I don't have the answers. I don't have the solutions. I don't have some great strategy. All I know is who to come to. And I come to this place in abandonment, oftentimes in worship, in the sacrifice of thanksgiving, when it doesn't feel good, but I do it anyway. In that engagement with the person of the Holy Spirit, he comes and he comforts. There's one direction to go in mourning that takes you to the comforter. The other takes you to unbelief. And we can call it all kinds of religious titles, but the bottom line is I'm in pain. I don't have answers for it. And I'm going to keep the routine up. I'm just not going to be as involved in that area. I just suffered great loss. I'm not going to pray for the sick like I was. And it's not always thought through. It's just what we do. It's we react to, "Oh, we suffered loss with cancer. Somebody else has the anointing for that. I'll seek for people who have injured legs or something." You know, we rationalize instead of going head on into the area where we need to be healed. when he brings healing to a broken heart, it doesn't, at least for me, it doesn't initially start with answers. Most of the time, I don't need answers anyway. I need a person. I need presence. If I can have the peace that passes understanding, I'm good, which for me has meant I have to give up my right to understand. There's something about coming into that place of engaging with the person of the Holy Spirit where I'm engaging with him in surrender. I'm not there to dictate to him. I'm not with him so that I can become successful in life. I'm there because he's God and I'm not. I think I mentioned it last week. I saw the sign that said, the only difference between you and God is he's not trying to be you. Excuse me, that's not the only difference, but you got the point. All right. So this thing of mourning then takes me in one of two directions. It either takes me to a place of healing, comfort from the comforter, or to unbelief. Now, picture being the 11. You're huddled together in a home. You're scared to death because Jesus was just brutally murdered before your eyes. You're afraid you might be next. If there's anything you don't feel, it's resistant to truth. You feel demoralized, maybe. You feel weakened. There's probably tears. There's probably all this stuff going on in the room. But the one thing you don't feel like is a hardness of heart. And yet when Jesus walks in the room, he rebuked them for their hardness of heart. See, hardness of heart isn't evident through strong self-will. Hardness of heart is oftentimes evidence in the unwillingness to deal with the pain that's in your life. Unwilling to come to the Lord for him to bring healing out of that which makes no sense. And what happens is it builds a resistance in us. The scary thing to me about this story is here's the guys that are going to be taking on the message to shape the course of world history. And Jesus starts off his relationship with them with a rebuke. This is his first interaction with them after the resurrection. And he's basically saying, listen, I sent messengers to you. You didn't believe them. I told you ahead of time what would happen. Then I sent messengers. Here's part of the problem. The first messenger was Mary Magdalene. First of all, in this male-dominated culture, women weren't counted. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's the culture of the day. And so these guys that are running things, who does Jesus first reveal himself to? Not just women, Mary Magdalene, the demonized, tormented one. Jesus chooses her first, or the Father did. However it works, it was chosen. I remember, here's part of the problem, is you have to learn to recognize when God is speaking, not because it makes sense to you, but because you recognize the presence of God released when they speak.
I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.